public session the last week?
Oh, you did that too.
Right there, this lady right there. I'm looking at Akamo Top, the top shot of the chief and the line, but the secret of top out. They had a big squish. You know, you had a big squish? You had a mother for such a long time. That's a very big squish. Not everybody is like for that. All right. Now, let me ask you a personal question. What did you think about during the course of the week when it rained? When it was cold? When the sun came out?
Teacher in a Polish school.
Yes.
She never heard of this.
She never heard of this.
And the north wind.
She never heard of this.
Told you off like a man.
So your mother is not a bastard. So at least you carry Torah around with you all week. Yes?
Yes. My husband
I know that everybody was talking about me all week. I don't know what it was like down here over Shabbos from Thursday through Sunday. We were up in the Talil. Sunday morning, it literally poured. Poured.
What happened?
Huh? Well, the night was clear. It was in the morning, so I don't know what happened. I didn't dormir all
day.
And the two eyes. I finished with the yin, the kaiches, and go along with the moon. I don't want to do that.
That red honey and the other honey. She didn't know that either.
Oh. Okay, so the chef and nachas for the bubba. Okay. Now, I'm going to try something. I'm going to try my best. Because I think it's very topical. It's current events. Current events with a difference. There's a classic piece in the Mesha Chachma. The Mesha Chachma, we've talked about it in the past. Meir Simcha HaKohen Mitvinsk was one of the Gaonei Olam of the early part of the 20th century. He died in 1925. Giant. He's known by two names. He wrote a Sefer Or Sameach on the Rambam, and there, of course, is where the Yeshiva Or Sameach got its name from. And on Chumash, he wrote a great, great work called Meshech Chachma. Most probably the most famous piece of all is the one that you have on the two sides of your sheet. How much we will succeed in doing, I don't know, but we'll try and get some of those most significant ideas, every bit of it. And I even went to the trouble of putting in line numbers, so in case I want you to move from one spot to another, you'll be able to follow me. You see the numbers on the right and the left hand side, and then I put in comments along the way. Sorry, it's on the pasuk at the end of the Tochacha Parsha, the Chukotai. This week there are two parshiot, Bahar and Chukotai. The Chukotai has the Tochacha, the terrible, terrible, terrible admonition and curses that God says if we will forsake Him. But the end, there's a pasuk of consolation, to a sense, in a sense. The Avakam Zodbi, Hotam Beretz, Oyveim, Lo Ma'astim, Velo Ga'altim, L'chalotam, L'hafer, B'ti, Tam, Ki'ani, Hashem, Lu. K'ayem, I have it. For reasons of space, I have it on the second side, side two, down at the bottom. The Av comes up, but also, even though there is this, Be'yotam ve'eretz oyeveihem, while they are in the land of their enemies, lo ma'astim, I will not have been abhorred by them, v'lo ga'altim, nor will I have rejected them, l'chalotam, chasishom, to obliterate them, l'hafem b'titam, regardless of the fact that they suffer, but there will not be, there's never an intention on God's part to annul the covenant with them, because Ani Hashem Elokeihem, I am, and throughout history, I remain God who is their God. I will remember for them the covenant of their forebearers, that I took them out of the land of Egypt, laying out going in the eyes of all the nations, Lelokim, Ani Hashem, I took them out of Egypt in order that I should be their God. I am Hashem. And despite everything that was said in the Tochacha, the covenant between God and the Jewish people continues into eternity. Follow me now. Line one. Ha'inyahu, he wants to explain what's meant by all this. Who said in Bonen Tzad B'darkei Ha'ashgacha Ha'ayonach Tzad Mash Yuchal La'avim. If we will attempt to think about the way in which God's divine providence works in this world, and he of course says the extent to which we are able to comprehend, I think we are mere mortals, we're not really capable of understanding the depth of God's divine plans, but there's something we can see. We look into it, we may be able to see something. When divine wisdom decreed that Israel will have to go through a period of time when they will wander through the lands of the earth, many, many years, Israel will have to wander until the time comes that the divine objective has established. In other words, remember, he died in 1925. We are already at a further stage in history where the Jew is in the process of ending his wandering amongst the nations. Halavai. That's an Aramaic expression that means that even one's mouth does not tell it to one's heart. That means we don't know when the end, the glorious end, is going to be. So it says, once this was established, the divine decree that Israel must wander. So now what becomes terribly important, if Israel must wander through the world for many, many years, how are we going to preserve the Jewish people? The most natural thing of all is that at some point in history, they should do exactly what all other great nations and empires did, assimilate within other societies and disappear from the face of the earth. So the Rebbeinu has something that he has to deal with. He has decreed that we should wander, but we have an eternal covenant with him, which God says in this pasuk. I will not annul the covenant. That means so that there should be a covenant. You know what you need? You need God, but you need the Jews. So now how, if God has decreed that we should wander, how are we going to survive? The divine wisdom thought of ofanim v'tachbulot, ways and means. Asher Yisroel yitkaimul go, that Israel should remain a distinct nation, v'lo yitbolelu ba'amim, and that they should not be assimilated amongst the nations of the world. And what it was brought to the attention, or there was an awakening and an arousal in the great of our people that they should begin to build gedorim and siyamim, fences and walls of protection around the Jewish people, so that wherever we may travel, wherever we may wander from land to land, we should be able to retain our unique identity. Asher ha'umot tekayenin. There are certain points over here where he becomes very poetic. The fences from Megash that the nation should continue to exist, b'sha'on galei hayam, when the sounds of the waves of the sea, the breaking of the waves, v'lo tidvayen, shall not sink and drown, b'mitzolot hasar, in the depths of the storm, hashotef, that washes everything away before it, ruach amitz v'kapi, with a mighty and a strong wave. Israel has to be protected from being swept away into nothingness before the mighty waters of the whole world. V'nei ha'rishon, ha'mor ha'derech, u'malameit rashei ha'uma, the first one who taught the way, ha'mor ha'derech, the roadmap, the first one who made a roadmap for the Jewish people. What it was, and one teaches the heads of our nation, who are Avinu Zaken Yaakov, our father, Zaken Yaakov Avinu, Asher Yikrel Tanu V'Acharet Hayamin. He saw what was going to happen to the Jewish people at the end of the days. He saw, he was shown all of history before him. And he calls his children together in the middle of Parshat Vayechi. He calls his children, I will tell you what will happen. And ruach hakodesh. No, he was stopped. He was stopped from being able to do that. But he knew. So he thought, 70 people are going to settle down in this mighty empire of old Egypt. They're going to be lost. They're going to be swallowed up. Halom yidbolu, 9:15. They will be assimilated. V'yidbatlu echad b'nirvad rivava. They will simply be lost. Bottle. They will become bottle in tens of thousands by tens of thousands. Choshav tarbula v'eitzos. So he thought of a means and an idea. Asher b'nav yimut ziyon mishon b'vigdei u'mishmotam. It was he who decided that he must make sure that his children are going to be different by virtue of their clothing and by their names, and they're going to speak Hebrew. V'lachem, therefore, ha'yu Yisrael l'goy b'fnei atzmai. He established that principle by them that in the depths of Egypt, Jews are going to conduct themselves as a people apart. V'lachem, Yisrael l'goy b'fnei atzmai. Therefore, the Jewish people were a nation by themselves. And then he understood the following. He understood that if he would be buried in Egypt, you can say goodbye to the Jewish people forever and ever after. Mitzrayim would become their birthplace, that will be their home, and wherever they may be elsewhere in the world, they'll have trips on Kever Avos to go to Cairo someplace, or the Amish village, or Peyton. So he made it certain, and he begged of Yosef, Al notit b'rei b'Mitzchayim, don't bury me in Egypt, and watch what happens as a result. V'im ho'yo Yaakov avi koshif, then Yisrael of Yaakov, the father of all the tribes of Israel, kovur shom, if he would be buried there. Halo ho'yo mityashin b'yeretz kenan. They would have given up all hope about the land of Canaan, for you mishtakim in Mitzrayim, and they would become, they would be settled in, farzunken and farzunked in Mitzrayim, umashiv motal eretz molaratam, and they would consider Egypt their birthplace. Ich bin ein Egyptian. That's what would have happened. For your bottle yield her lokiyaleim. And what would be annulled completely would be God's great destiny for the Jewish people. It would end their pogrom in Mitzrayim, all over. Ki lo yezer Avram, rak chelek echod me'am Mitzrayim. All that would happen to them is that the seed of Avram will be another part of the great Egyptian empire. Lachain, therefore, tzivo becholos, with all of this strength and all of this might he commanded, Ligboroto Beretz Canaan, to bury him in the land of Canaan. V'yedun, so that they should all know for all times. Ki avos ha'umo v'yikum, so the father of this nation and all of its yichus is Beretz Canaan. Eretz Canaan. And that one of our 100 heritage sites in this country is Chevron and Tamar HaSamach Taylor, regardless of what anybody else says. Shekashe Yedu Malosa, because once they, Yaakov is buried there, so they will know how significant that land is. Yehoyim Mushteikim Lekovro, V'chashvu, Kashevu L'mizbeh. They saw Yaakov Avinu as in a sense, his burial place is a source of forgiveness. Kamo Sharmas, our rabbi said, just like in Mizbeach, it gives atonement so to the place where a tzaddik is born is kapara. By the way, that certainly is what's behind all of our going to Kravim, Rav Shimon ben Yochai. In a sense, there's a sanctity to that place. By the Medrash, also says he was afraid that they might make him an avodah zorah if they would leave him in Mitzrayim. Upazeh, what he accomplished by his being buried in Eretz Yisrael, Nikvav v'nevesh bonov kishur tibi, what was established in the soul of his children was a natural bond lehishtoke, to desire, to yearn, to long for Eretz Avotem, the land of their fathers, v'lachshov atzmon kigedim. Here comes a very important point. They should consider themselves any place else in the world as strangers, sojourners, people who are just here temporarily. Now watch what a beautiful pshat Meir Simcha says on something we've said in the Haggadah for who knows how many years. And a beautiful knetch. In the Haggadah we say by Yagor Sham, Yaakov Avinu came down to Mitzrayim and he lived there. Melane, so Yorad Yaakov Avinu Lishtakea El Lagur Sham. How do we usually understand this? This comes to teach us that Yaakov did not go down to Egypt to settle in, Ella just to live there temporarily. Along comes the Meshech Chacham and he says, Perush, Melamed L'Doros. You know what the Medrash means? Melamed, this is a lesson he taught all generations. Never, ever see yourselves as an essential part and parcel of the place where you are. Wherever you are, see yourself as a stranger. Melamed for all generations. L'Doros, the Cholgolos, the Golos. In any exile where we may be, Ha'anhoga, this is the way we're supposed to conduct ourselves. Sheyedun, they should know whatever country in the world they come to. Shelo yardulishta keyashamrat logur advo keitzayimen. They went down there to live temporarily until the end, the great end comes. V'yu machashvin be'ne'atzom lo ke'ezrachim. They should not see themselves as full citizens. Like, this is my native land. No, this is not my native land. I was born in New York, but I come from Eretz Yisrael. That's what Yaakov Avinu wanted. The same thing with Tzibo Yosef. Yosef commanded his children, Poko Yifkor Hashem L'kimetchem Dadas Gantur, remember you, take me out of here. And then he goes on to say that all of the Shvatim told their children, don't leave us here. The Barim Tzach, take us out of here. What they all accomplished was they established a root principle deeply embedded in Jewish consciousness that this is not our place. V'lachem, here's another beautiful shot. V'lachem, it says at the beginning of Parashat Shmos that they put taskmasters on them. Jews began to flourish and grow and develop and multiply. V'yokutzu nipnei b'nei Yisrael. The Egyptians were, I don't know what word to use, it seems to indicate like they felt like we were thorns.
Cots.
Thorns. Kotzim. Kotzim. But the Meshech Chachma says, no, that's not the pshat. We were not thorns in anybody's side. He says it's in the nature of a thorn that it cannot mix with anything else that grows in the ground. It always remains alone, separate, distinct. That's the way it is. So by Yokutzu B'nei Yisrael, B'nei Yisrael remained separate, distinct, unique. Watch what he says. By Yokutzu B'nei Yisrael, Shahagim Nechshavim B'neim, he tells him, that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that the Jews were considered in the eyes of the Egyptian like forms, Shekemosha Kotz Eino Nizbach. Just like a thorn does not become entangled with and make roots with other things that grow in the trees. So the same thing, Israel was considered, they never saw themselves as Egyptians. They were separate, distinct, and different in their personality traits. Ubaharga Shatam and their feelings, emotions, they just weren't Egyptians. Until in the eyes of the Mitzvah he saw them like a coat that does not attach to anything else. And from here the great of our nation learned, Ubarosham Ezra Vanshan Kneslakadola, and of those of you who are here on Shabbos HaGadol, I think it was Shabbos HaGadol. I also made reference to another great Meshech Chachma. A Meshech Chachma who differentiates between the Babylonian exile of 70 years and the 200-year exile in Egypt. The difference between the two was that during the Egyptian exile, Jews kept those fences, walls around them. And therefore they survived for the 200 years. In Babel, in the middle of 70 years of there was already intermarriage. The Jews didn't speak Hebrew. Yes.
But how come that they say that the Jews went down to the 48th level in Egypt?
So there's a footnote somewhere else.
She
said, but wait a minute, we've all heard that they were hurrying down to the 49th level of Tuma, and if we don't do something quickly and we don't get Jews out, it'll be the end of it. All the fences, and all of the walls of separation can help for a certain period of time. It's not a guarantee forever. And yet, what you've done is, you will now see what ultimately is going to be the whole point of the Meshech Chachma. That Jews, God saw that Jews cannot remain in any one place too long. And therefore, in history, there have been tidal waves of anti-Semitism that have moved Jews from one place to the next. He's going to describe how they come into a country they can throw out from another country. They come into another country. They're poor. They begin to work hard. They're unlearned. They build up their institutions. The next generation begins to become part of the host nation. By the third and the fourth generation already, they are no longer Jews in Hungary, but they are Hungarian Jews. And when it becomes that as though they are beginning to sink again into what was happening in Mitzrayim, comes the, you will describe, a storm of even greater proportions comes and is going to sweep them away again, and it's all going to start all over again. Yes, Sarah?
On the other hand, the Goyim, who put the Jews in a ghetto to keep them away from the Goyim, actually did them a favor by keeping them within their own realm so that they did not go on the outside and mix with the Goyim. Therefore, they were able to study Torah and continue life as Jews, even though eventually they got kicked out. But then the same thing happened all over again.
We'll see the development, yes. Wouldn't be a bit surprised that the ghetto was something very blessed, but only up to a point. We are fortunate enough to have the ultimate solution for the Jewish people. We're part of the ultimate solution, but not everybody is. You know where I'm learning this piece today? I'll tell you exactly where I'm learning. Because there was an editorial in the Jerusalem Post last week. Yeah. I see a piece of news in my media, it becomes Hashtikl Taiva, you understand? Jerusalem Post last week, Wednesday, April 28th. The headline is, "From Hungary and Austria, come to Israel." Austria and Hungary both had elections last week. And in the elections in Austria and Hungary, the extreme right, the anti-Semitic right, increased its strength considerably. So you understand? What could not have been done 62 years ago, Jerusalem Post says, Chevred Eden, that you're sitting around there in Austria and Hungary, don't you see the handwriting on the wall? Come home, finish your cup. What are you going to wait for? It should get worse. Getting worse day by day for the Jews of Europe. Come! 65 years ago, 70 years ago, millions of Jews wanted to come, but there was nowhere to come to. So when I saw this editorial, a fascinating editorial, we may yet read a few selections of it. Come home! Come here! What are you talking about? But watch, there's going to be so much brilliance and depth in this piece of the Meshech. We're at 45. You see, it comes in handy, the numbers. Line 45. When we sell along the way, wait, I was sidetracked. So Meshech back there in Parshas Bo said that what kept Jews unique in Egypt. War, yes, these fences around the Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, their clothing and everything else. But as I say, it cannot last forever. It's not enough. There comes the time, and when it says that we're going down to the 49th, what it really means is that they were beginning to reach a period where even the fences around them were beginning to become weakened. And the Rebbe Nishim understood it's time for Jews to move on. And he took them out of the time. But in Bavel, Meshech Chachma says in less than 70 years, 40, 50 years, they had already become so assimilated in Bavel, so what's going on? And therefore they went ahead and they enacted a number of halachas in order to protect Jewish identity. They prohibited the wine of non-Jews. They even prohibited the bread of non-Jews, oil of non-Jews, just in order to
mix together.
That we don't mix together, to create a halachic fence between Jew and non-Jew, so that we can come back to ourselves and reassert our identity. Berosham Ezra and the men of the Great Assembly, Shagadru Vesigu Ha'umab Yud Chazdava, there are 18 halachas that they created. Lihibadil mehagoyim b'chol archeim, so that we should be separated from the goyim in all of their ways. Listen to this sentence. Sheyedu Yisrael, that Israel shall know, ki hu achsanai. He should know that he is a guest, a ger, and a stranger be'eretz lachriyah, in a foreign land. That has to be part of Jewish consciousness. V'hu kishtilei zeitin. He spoke about the thorn, now he talks about the olive plant. A lot of trees, you can graft two trees together. Like what is it? You take an apple and a peach, is that it? And you get a nectarine. There are all sorts of, you take a branch of one tree and you graft it onto another tree, you can get a third fruit. There's one tree that can never be grafted. That's an olive. The olive, shtilei zeitin, like the plants of the zayin she'enam tarev in har kavacha, that it cannot mix with any grafting. V'lachein omru b'yushalmi, therefore Yerushalmi, Talmud Yerushalmi said, shafil Eliyahu, we're on left-hand side of the page, even Eliyahu HaNavi, Yaakov HaTel, cannot undo those enactments of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the men of the Great Assembly that were established in order to protect Jewish identity. Perish. Kozman Shalom Bo HaGoel, as long as the Redeemer has not come. The Pasek Shibud Malkius, and we will no longer be under the yoke of nations of the world. Afil Bo HaLevaser, even if the one who brings the good news has already come. That's Eliyahu. He's the Mavaser. He's the one who tells us. Take if you go immediately, Mashiach. He's on the way, he's coming. Lo yibok, you can't change any of those laws. Shehemim advarim hamekayim l'ha'um of Agolah. Those halachas, those fences, are that which keep, sustain the Jewish people in the exile, maskinim oto, and remind him, shehu Yisrael, that he is a Jew for who be'eretz lo. He's in a land, it's not his. Now here, it's really sort of a very parenthetic comment that he makes. V'hinei eight hayot Yisrael v'agoyim. I wrote on the side, the miracle of Jewish survival. He says, from the time that Jews have been amongst the nations of the world, been in Vot HaShalim after all these years, asher lo ha'aminu kol yoshvei tevel. Nobody on the face of this earth ever believed ki yitkainu, that it will continue to exist, v'ofen nifla. In such a wondrous way, Ashalom Yisha'er Machsheves Adam Maskil, an intelligent thinking person could not have imagined that Jews would survive. Why should they be different than all those other nations, mighty and fierce, and thou hast survived them? They are long dead. Nations keep coming, nations keep going, passing like shadows, wiped off the earth, Egypt enslaved thee, Babylon crushed thee. Rome led the captive, homeless thy head. Where are those nations, mighty and fierce? Go.
Ne'elmu.
Hayodea Koros Hayomim, the person who knows what happened, another person who knows history. Mamitsulos. The depths of the sea, he's becoming poetic again. Asheshotfu Pialfein Shonim, that have washed over during the thousands of years, Al Am Hamaat V'Harafa, who had a fakor on this little people, and so weak, V'Chadal Onim, without any might, Asher Zelvad, that in itself alone, the survival of the Jewish people, Gam Ken Mofeis Niflo, it is a wondrous proof, the God of a great proof, Al Kim Ha'umal Mataranis Gavar Lokit, that this people survives because we are part of a divine purpose, a great divine purpose. Everybody thinks they don't need us. Everybody thinks they're going to get rid of us. And they don't understand that God's keeping us around here because we are going to serve. I think we've served and we will continue to serve God's divine purpose in this world. Asher Nisnagu Allah Karbonu, that our Nevi'im says. So here, of course, we have to add the two things that I've said in the past. King Louis XV asked Pascal, the philosopher, scientist, prove to me that there are miracles. to know how to do it. To which Pascal, smiling, said to Louis XV, "The Jews, Your Majesty, the Jews." I can imagine him saying it to Louis XV, and Louis XV thought he's Pashtun come for. "The Jews, Your Majesty, the Jews." Rabbi Yaakov Emden, in his Siddur, says, "I swear that the survival of the Jewish people is a greater, greater miracle than all the miracles were done at the Exodus from Egypt." The survival of the Jewish people. We walk around, you know, we don't know our real significance. We're little people, but we're giants. We're here in this world. No other people survive. It's awesome. You have to think about it sometimes. Where are those nations, mighty and fearsome? Thou hast survived them. They are all dead. Now he's going to tell us, as I write on the side, this is the pattern of Jewish history. The pattern of Jewish history was established by God with having as its purpose one thing, that we should survive and make it through history. That if I know we did, we're in a lot of trouble right now, but we're still around, you know. We made it through the worst already. But we have some major, major hurdles to overcome.
Yeah.
Major hurdles. Now he says, this is the plan. Derech ha-hashgacha, the way of divine providence is ki yaluchu meshach shalim karav le-meo matayim, that they should rest 100 or 200 years in a certain country. Country X. V'achar kach, afterwards. Yaku achazeh yakum ruasara, they will arise in storm wind viyafot hamon galov, and it will spread out its mighty and great waves. The kola yivle, it will destroy, yados shatter, yishtof, it will wipe away, lo yachbo, without compassion. A storm against the Jewish people. Adkin Yivzorim, until they are spread out all over, voted him. A few Jews here, a few Jews there. Yorutsu, they will run. Yivrichu, they will flee. L'makom rachot, to a place far away. Shom Yitachnu, there they will again unite. Yiyu L'goi, they will become a people. Yugdal Toratam, their Torahs will grow great. Chochmosom Yasu Chayil, their wisdom is going to give them great intellectual strength, and it's going to go good for them. And you know what's going to happen? The pattern is going to start again. Until he forgets that he's really a stranger in a foreign land. Yachshov, he will think, he's going to think that this is the place from which he was hewn. This is where he came from. He's not going to anticipate or look forward to the great spiritual redemption that's supposed to come. He's settled in. Here he is. He's at home, wherever it is, that place, Argentina, Brazil, Australia, any place. I try to use the names of places that none of you are from, because you take it too personally. And you know what happens then? Shom Yavo Ruach Sa'ora Yoter Chazak. There they will come, a second storm, even mightier. Yazkino Tovikol So'en Barash, that is going to remind him in a tempestuous sound. Yehudi Ata Umisam Chalish, you're a Jew. Who made you a balabulus over here? Lech Lecho Al Eretz Asher Lo Yedata, get out of here. I wrote on the side, Yudin's house. Go out to someplace else. Kacha Yachlis, Matzah, you stay in the Kiyumobam. So are the changes of the situation of the Jew and his existence amongst the nations. Kasha Ein Hamas will yire the Sefer Divrei Hayom. As the eye of any intelligent person will see if he has studied history. I said, all you need to help. in one history book that I was reading, they had all of the exiles and expulsions of Jews, I think, in the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th century, France, Germany, the Rhineland, England. Shomu Shamayim. I don't think Jews lasted 100 to 200 years anyplace. At any moment in time, the local duke, you understand, could say out, and that was it. Vizel Shtesivot. There are two reasons why this is the pattern in Jewish history. L'kiyum hadat ha'amiti v'taharoto. In order that the true and pure Jewish religion should continue to exist, l'kiyum ha'umah. And that the people as a people should continue. Because what happens is, here he's going to say something, I don't know whether to call it psychological. Well, watch this. Let's see it in his words. Ki kasher yonuach Yisrael ba'amim, when Jews settled down amongst any one of the nations, yafriach, he's going to blossom. V'yigdal torosayu pilpulo. His Torah and its depth is going to grow. Uponu v'yasu chayil. His children, who don't speak with an accent, understand? Because the tatas are the greenhorns, the naidei b'kimena, the refugees. The children already are going to find great success. Yidgadru neged avoteh. He's going to stop. Watch what he's going to say. He's going to say, there's something in the nature of the new or the young generation where they want to excel. They want to show themselves as different than the previous generation. They are the newer generation. They have different goals and different objectives. In a sense, they want to surpass the generation that preceded them. So it says, Ki kacha chefetz ha'odom, this is man's will. It's built into man. Asher ha'achron yichadesh, the one who comes after, is always the one who wants to add, yichadesh, bring things that are new. Yosef omets, show great strength. Masha ha'yonel amidora hayasham, that which the altar, the old pa and ma and bubs and zaids, you understand? Then and now, where are the new ones? Where are the great sechakol, you understand? Yeah. Okay? Vizeb chokmos hanoshius. And what's he talking about? He's talking about in wisdom, human wisdom, secular wisdom. Asher mekorah machzevet sechol hanoshius, because that wisdom has as its source, it is human, from the human mind. V'anisoyen v'zeh, yizgat v'achronen yotzifu ovetz. And there, for example, in science, it's obvious that those who come afterwards are going to build on that which they received from the generation before them, and they're going to make awesome strides forward that nobody could ever have imagined. We can just take it in our own lifetime. Shalom Shomayim. What? The last 20 years. Every day there's something new. I don't know. iPads, e-pads. There's so much new stuff. I always try to imagine my father-in-law, he'd see us walking around with cell phones. Shouldn't Where's the device? Where's the device? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? In the realm of human intelligence, then the new generation is always going to surpass the generation before. And it doesn't take a generation anymore. It's most probably 5 years. And so I'm putting all of my tapes onto CDs, and I'm afraid any day now there's going to be a new means, and we'll have to take all the CDs and turn them into who knows what new contraption. What new contraption? I can't keep up with the advance of science and technology. So he says, where I see that in every generation, that the new generation is able to surpass the previous. But there's one place where it doesn't work. This is an extremely important lesson for us. It doesn't work in Torah and in religion. I'll believe you didn't say that. No, I was thinking of the opposite. I was thinking precisely the opposite. Women rabbis. That's right. I'm opposed to women rabbis. Tell that to the Jerusalem Post. All right? Or all the new Hadushim that the conservative and reform movement, right, that's going to save clients. So we're all going to be saved. All going to be saved. Can't do it. They are the destruction of Yahweh. I got that off my chest. So he goes on to say the following. That this need to surpass was not a problem in Eretz Yisrael of old. In Eretz Yisrael of old, where there was a Sanhedrin, where there were Levi'im, there were prophets, where there was a Kohen Gadol with an Urim v'Tumim, we were constantly attached, plugged in to the highest forms of wisdom. No need whatsoever, and no possibility of surpassing the previous generation. Watch. Lo kein hadato leki hanitam min hashamayim. It's not so. It's true of all wisdom, but not with the divine wisdom that was given from heaven. Umekoro lo al eretz chutzav. It was not yun. Its source is not from this world. Halo im hoyav eretz yisrael lefanim. If one would have been in eretz yisrael in ancient times, halo hoyav lehem leizgader b'tikun ha'umo kol efel lefidoro. Everybody was able to surpass previous generations by making the ummah, the nation, even greater. Beit Din HaGadol, there were ways where the great Beis Din was able to undo that which previous Batei Din had decided on. Now, if you talk about chumras, a chumra of one Beis Din can be undone by another Beis Din. But there's a way and a means of which to do it. It's not every local spiritual leader who has the right to do it. There were means of change, means by which we were able to, in a sense, make sure that Torah is relevant and is current. And it goes on. So yeah, at the end, turnover. Line number 5. You know what he says in line number 5? He says, that was true in Eretz Yisrael. There were checks, there were balances, there were means of dealing with all sorts of problems in a spiritual way, because they were prophets, there was the Beis HaGadol, there was the Kohen Gadol. He says, Lo kein b'golah, not while we were in exile. Line number 6. And he's going to say that you know how the new generation's desire to surpass expresses itself in exile? By rejection, by rebellion. The new generation may very well want to drop completely what they had received from their parents and grandparents. That's the fear of the exile, rebellion. Rebellion becomes the mean by which to surpass. Locating Pagola, not so in the exile, in Ismail Takibutz for Asifa Belima Torah, where we don't have that much intense study of Torah. Shemitam Bezdin, that's why no Beddin has the right to make any new laws. as the Rambam says in his introduction to his Mishnah Torah, and there is no chosev enav in line 10, there are no prophets or seers. Or mechitza shel barzel, there is an iron curtain that separates the Jewish people from their God in heaven. We don't have access to divine knowledge. So you know what happened in the Golan when Jews moved from one land to the next? This is what their way was. When they would enter a strange land, they would come in ignorant, not being B'nai Torah, because they had been weakened and decimated by the tzavos, the evil decrees, the expulsions. And afterwards they will be awakened and aroused with a divine spirit, the desire, that they wish to return to their original roots. They're going to study Torah. They are going to spread Torah. Yasu niflos, they're going to do wondrous things. Ad kiyamo keren haTorah alrumo v'siyo, until the brilliance of Torah in that country is going to be at its height, its peak, its apotheosis. Haloein b'yad haTorah lahosif, mal nitgaber elavotam. The next generation, they don't have a means by which to excel or surpass the previous generation. What is a man going to do with that will, that need that he has for new things, the need to surpass? You know what he's going to do? This is the scariest part of it all. He had it all figured out. You know what they're going to do? Yevaker. They're going to criticize. They're going to criticize the previous generations. And you know what they're going to say? Whatever our fathers taught us was all a lie. They're going to make new toes. Yevaker b'rayon kozeh et asher inkilu avoteinu. They will critique and criticize with lies what their fathers had given them as inheritance. Yeshaer chadashot. They will even forget the history of the Jewish people and what happened to them when they wandered. These few sentences are a very apt description of what's going on with Jewish kids in the universities of the United States and the world. There is a rejection of Israel, a rejection of Yahdut, a rejection of the state of Israel, and it's all based on absolute lies. 2 days ago, there was a terrifying article in the Jerusalem Post.
Yeah, San Diego.
The great gaon of the new historians was a fellow by the name of Benny Morris.
Yeah.
Benny Morris's first book, he describes in 1948, we threw the Arabs out. We caused them terrible suffering. We stole their land. And he says that the whole story as though we were an embattled, little, weak people, was all a big lie. This Benny Morris gave birth to the whole movement of new historians. The whole Zionist narrative is a shekev. We're a bunch of ganoven. We came here to a country with peaceful, good, nice Arabs, and we made a churban. And there are a lot of people that were looking for something like this, and they found it. So what are they supposed to do now? The last 2 years, he's written 2 books saying that everything he wrote before was false, it wasn't true, and he restructures the whole. Yes, we were a weak and battle people. They hated us. They've always hated us. They never recognized us. They don't want to recognize. And all of a sudden, the guy's talking like a settler. You know what I'm saying? This is Benny Morris.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. He has sent shockwaves through the whole intellectual community. Intellectual, with a little I at the beginning. Like Clement Clement's intellectual. And the fact is that the whole post-Zionist, so-called post-Zionist narrative, is all based on absolute lies. They made it all up. They made it all up. That we're the bad guys. We stole the land. Yeah, all of that. This is what he's saying. What is the man going to do? Israel's at the peak. How are you? How's the next generation going to, in a sense, break out of it? You know what they do? They become liars. There was another article that the In Thing, Makor Rishon, that the In Thing, some student from Haifa University said, wrote a paper on that. She's not interested in the truth. The truth does not serve our purposes. If in order to serve our purposes we have to lie, then that's exactly what we have to do. And her professors are tchatchking zich with this geise, nu goyen upon the scene. It's unbelievable. We can't understand it. So if you can't understand it, then you're still okay. If you can understand it, you better check out quickly the book. Now wait, I'm just going to go another few lines. Yevake v'rayim kozim v'tashem in kilim. Yesher chadashos. Having forgotten what all the tzahs of Christ are. Having forgotten how we suffered. How the people of the world caused us to suffer. V'yisraeli b'chlal yishkach mach tzavto. He will forget where he came from. V'yashovin is going to consider himself the Ezra Hanan, a new citizen of the world. Yazov limudei dato, he's going to leave the study of his religion. Lil mayt l'shanos lo, he's going to go learn all sorts of languages that are not his. Yalef mi kalkalto v'lo yalef mi takna. And from the goyim, he's going to learn the bad from the goyim and not the good. And here I have the great sentence that made this Meshech Chochma so famous. He's going to reach the point, Yachshov ki Berlin hi Yerushalayim. This was written 50 years before the Shoah. He's going to think that Berlin is Yerushalayim. We haven't seen it in our time. There weren't Jews here and elsewhere in the world where Moscow, Stalin, the son of all the nations, there are Jews today who see light and brilliance in Ramallah with the sick people. It's all part of this process. And the only thing that we can be comforted with is Afganzos, despite all of this, the Pasuk says. At the end of the Torah, when you are going to be amongst the nations of the world, I will not reject you, I will not cast you aside. There is an eternal covenant between me and you, and I'm going to make sure that you will continue to exist throughout history. And the very fact that we exist means that we are here in order to serve God's great purpose. And the fact is, regardless of all of the negative, and there's a tremendous amount of negative things going on in Jewish communities throughout the world. A tremendous amount. The ultimate strength is going to be here. And what the Meshech Chochma is saying really is that a Jew has to know wherever he may be in the world, he is a stranger. He has to know that he's a guest. This is not where I belong. And God forbid, if they begin to think that they belong there, there will come another terrible, terrible storm, chas v'shalom. So the Jerusalem Post is right. Jews of Hungary and Austria, come home to Israel. The Jews of France, and the truth is, Jews of America, I think they should run first. They should run first. I'm with them.
What year was this written?
The precise year I can't know.
Vera.
1900. Long before Germany was German.
Okay.